Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Hello, all the good people are here again. Good to see you. And online. Well, let's dive right in this morning. We're looking at Luke 10. And how do you preach? How do you choose a passage from one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible? When I was preparing this early in the week, I'm going, how can I possibly choose? Here are some of the big ones, you know, the Good Samaritan, Mary and Martha, Lord's Prayer. He's supposed to, Lord Jesus, what did I set myself up for? So I hope as you read these through, you're really just enjoying the richness of these texts, Jesus' words to us. So I am cheating a little this morning. I am doing two passages. Told our team, like, let's just pick one passage from each week and preach on it. So, sorry. I am sneaking in two because as I read through these, I saw something really cool that I hadn't seen before. And as I prayed into it, these words came, sit and do. I thought, that's nice, Lord. That'll go. So these two passages, I'm going to read through them, and then I'm going to show you how they weave together in the context of this passage where Jesus is talking and preaching and talking to people and dealing with stuff. So let's dive right in. And I'm in Luke 10, 25. And it says here, sorry, I'm not 25. It is 25. It is 25. Behold, a lawyer. Now, a lawyer is a religious lawyer, an expert in the religious law, okay? Don't think barrister. Lawyer stood up to him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus often received those questions. People try to ask him and sometimes trick him, particularly if they're kind of religious lawyers. So this is a bit of a test. Jesus, you know, how do we get to heaven? What a question is it? How do I make it in the end is what he's asking. How do I receive eternal life? And so often Jesus just flicks it back on people. He doesn't answer it. He says, well, what do you think? He's a great asker of questions. And he says, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And so the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Right there, he quotes two passages in the Old Testament and brings them together really, really well, back in the law. And he does it so well. Basically, love God and love other people. And that's it. That's why we say the cross is like that, isn't it? The vertical and the horizontal. Love God, love people. How simple is that? And Jesus responded, he said, you've answered correctly. 10 out of 10. Awesome. Off you go. You know, when you just push things one too far, and the lawyer goes, well, who is my neighbor? And so often as Jesus responds, he says, well, let me tell you a story. And he launches into the story of the Good Samaritan, which I'm actually not going to preach on today. But many of you will know that, and talks about how the Jews miss out on helping the poor and the needy. But the enemy comes along, the Samaritan comes along and helps the person, where we get that term Good Samaritan. So hold that thought for a second. All right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And after he finishes that conversation with that expert in the law, he goes on his journey and they come to a village called Bethany, which is about 2 miles out of Jerusalem. It's a little town out of Jerusalem. And he comes across a family that is often comes up in the New Testament, the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay? 2 sisters and a brother. We think that probably Martha was the older and probably was a widow. We don't really know, but that kind of context. And let's jump now to Luke 10, 38. As they went their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted by much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You see, sit and do. Sit and do. The great kind of dual role that we have to play. Sit loving God and do and love your neighbor. Sit and feed and listen to Jesus and do things to help other people. How do we navigate that? How do we weave those two things together? And as we look at world history and churches, some churches and some people are great at sitting. They're great contemplatives, great mystics, or great people who just enjoy the presence of God. While the doers amongst us go, we got to do something. We got to save the world. We got come on, let's action. Come on, what are you doing sitting there? Where do you fall? Are you a sitter or are you a doer, or are you both? And what is good, and what is Jesus calling us into, and how do we live this? It seems like it's a contradiction, doesn't it? Like, how do I do this well? Because I got stuff to do. Mary. Martha. And we use that term, don't we? Oh, you're such a Martha. Why don't you sit down for a bit? Okay, so that's the introduction. Let's dive in and I'll give you some thoughts on this. Let's go. We're going to start with Mary and Martha. Now, you've got to understand this context. Now, when Jesus comes to somebody's house, he's got an entourage with him. Okay? It's not just Jesus. He's probably got the 12 disciples and a few hangers-on. So when he knocks on a door, "Hey, can we stay the night? Can we stay the night?" There's probably 15 people there. Now, how would you feel? 15 people arrive at your doorstep and go, "Yeah, can we just stay the night?" Now you and I might be in a different space and we go, "Yeah, maybe." But see, Middle Eastern hospitality was just, "Of course, come. Come in and stay." And sure, well, have you eaten yet? "No. No worries. We'll sort it. We'll sort it." It's likely that they weren't terribly wealthy. They're just a little village. And so when 15 people arrive on your doorstep, it's a big deal. And so Martha goes into overdrive. "I don't even know if I've got the food. Look." And she probably just sends some people, like, "Can you go next door and get and can you," you know, she's probably just organizing people, and you can just feel the blood pressure rising, you know. And she's in the kitchen and she's cooking and she's trying to coordinate 15. "Oh, have I got 15 knives and forks?" You know, and you can just imagine. Have you ever been there? I have. It's like, I've got my duty says that I need to do this. My civic responsibility, my place means I have to give and have to bless, But boy, I'm stressed because, you know, this pot's boiling over and I haven't set the table, and then I've got, and what? Mary, can you believe it? She's not even helping. Like, she should be in the kitchen with me. And she's banging the pots a bit more, you know. I mean, if she knew how hard I worked, I mean, I'm always the one to do stuff. I'm an older sister. I'm always responsible. And she's just sitting there. Any older sisters, brothers? Finally, she pops. I'm going to talk to Jesus about this. Because he'll tell her. Like, he knows how hard I'm working. Jesus, tell her to help me. She says, this is verse 41. Look, 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? That's funny. Like, don't you care? Like, you can see it, Jesus, surely. Like, don't you care that she's avoiding work? A work avoider. Jesus. Martha. I don't know what the tone. Martha. You can just put your own tone in, you know. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Just one. And she's chosen it. She's chosen the good portion. It's like the good food. You think you're serving me, but actually I'm the one who's giving the food out tonight. And she's chosen the good part of the meal, which is to sit and listen. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of the creator of the universe, getting a download about the kingdom of the heavens. She's lost in the majesty of God and the wonder of how God in human form had just entered her home. She's got the one who created the planets, the stars, in her living room. What would you do? Tell me about where you're from. Tell me about your kingdom. Tell me about your ways. And she's just in awe and lost at this privilege. She can't even hear Martha banging on pots. She's lost in a beautiful space and it won't be taken from her. If you interpose that little story with the Good Samaritan, the start of it, which says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, Luke 10:27. Your soul, your strength, and your mind. You'll see what Mary is doing. She's loving by sitting. The heart. It's so interesting that in the Old Testament law, it breaks up these four things. And Jesus reiterates that. He says, yeah, that's correct. The heart, it's the inner self that thinks and feels and decides. That inner part of you, the question is what I want is determined by the heart. What are your desires? Your soul is the center of human personality. It's the very center of our being. It's who am I? Okay, different to what do I want? It's who I am. It's my very identity. My strength is my abilities. It's what I can do. And my mind is my intellectual capacity. It's where does my mind land? What do I ponder? What do I think about? Can you see these four amazing aspects? And it's a mystery how it's broken up. I don't even pretend to understand it. Somehow these four faculties of our being, Jesus says, I want all of them to be on God. All of them. Your heart, what you want, your soul, who you are, your strength, what you can do, and your mind, what you think about. I want them all to be fixed on me. That's what Mary was doing. Loving. Filling, getting a heart and a soul and a mind right, so that when she can do her strength, it's coming out of a place of sitting and worship. So that what she does when she goes to love your neighbor as yourself, which is very much a do, she's doing it not out of a frantic, I must serve, I must bang pots, I must do this, but she's doing it out of this incredible place that she's got because she sat with Jesus, getting the right perspective, the right frame, the right everything going on. Then her doing will work. Does that make sense? She's looking after her soul. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You get the heart right, you get the inside right, and what you do is an act of worship and love to God. You miss that bit, and all you're going to be doing is banging pots. A noisy, clanging bell, right? Not love, but duty. Not love, but religion. Not inside, but outside. Not a heart transformed, but a responsibility to do. So different. So different. Most of our world thinks that Christianity is the external. All those Christians, they always do. They never have any fun, you know. They always have all these expectations and laws. And they always complain about. They see that their faith is about what we do. But really, our faith is like Mary. It's what we think about. It's who we ponder. It's the overflow of our heart that when we do is pure faith. There's a massive difference. That's why Jesus got so stuck into the Pharisees, because they were so obsessed about looking right and doing the right things and eating the right foods and not doing stuff on a Sabbath, and that they just reduced their faith down to a list of laws. And Jesus came and said, just, I'm not interested. Because that is actually stopping people from getting to know me, because they think it's all about just following his laws. He says, away with them. He gets really stuck in it. We'll see. Matthew 23, if you've ever read that. But back to this. Distracted. See, Martha was distracted, Luke 10:40. Distracted with much serving. It's odd, isn't it? You think that serving is good. And it is. But she was distracted by it. Distracted from what? The thing that she should have been really doing. This word distracted in the original language means to be overoccupied, to be too busy about a thing. She's caring about it too much, overoccupied. And in that sense, she needed to change. I don't know about you, but I'm a reformed doer. Reformed and reforming. On a journey. I love doing. I'm wired for action. You know, if I'm in a meeting, all right, let's do it. Let's go. All right, let's change that. Let's go. Let's do this. Like that's my MO. That's how I'm wired. But I've been learning to sit, then do. And it changes everything. It takes the pressure off. It takes the performance away. We live in a distracted world. Just like Martha. We live with, most of us are Marthas, I bet. Our Western culture is Martha. Like, it's all about what we do. And we judge ourselves by what we do. We give ourselves a tick or a cross at the end of the day by what we've done. Have I achieved? Have I ticked my list? Even with God, did I do my quiet time? Did I pray? I didn't. And so we fluctuate according to what we do. And so we try to achieve, we try to stress to prop up our soul, which is our identity, our sense of self. Because if I don't do, then I won't feel very good about myself. Where's that in the Bible? We are sons and daughters of God. Our identity comes from Him. And out of that flows rivers of living water. It changes everything. On Friday, was working in Sydney for the day. I often do that, and you know, little regular sort of thing. And I drove, got driving back from Olympic Park area. And I know the deal. I know I've got about 3 hours, and I've got some traffic on the M4, and I'm going to get over the mountains and far away, lovely, back to Bathurst. And I've got kind of what I do, you know, I've making some phone calls as I leave Sydney, you know, I'm just catching up on the day and talking to people. And then I settle down to a podcast or an audiobook and just get my mind into somewhere else and pray for some things. And then I'll just flick on the radio. I'll just love listening to, you know, just opinions, news, ideas. And that's kind of what I do on the drive. I'm doing that usual thing, and I get to about Katoomba. I just felt like God said, just turn it all off. I said, but this is a great audio. I mean, these ideas on Jesus. I mean, I'm just starting to get into this. I felt like he said, just turn it all off. I said, what do you want me to pray for some people? No. Just shh. Just turn it all off. It takes me from Katoomba to about Lithgow to turn it all off. I'm in here. You know, I'm thinking about so much. And have you ever gone through this? You just go, no, I'm not going to think about that. No, you can go away too. And nope. It's about half an hour's drive. Just no, I'm not. Emptying the thoughts, the anxieties of my heart. Get to Lithgow. Beautiful, beautiful city. Healy's. The Healy's Lithgow. Come to heal Lithgow. And I just get peace. I'm not trying to pray for stuff. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm not trying to get the latest idea. I'm just peace. And I sit and I drive in quiet to just past your place. Meadow Flat, the other God zone around here. And then I come up on the hill and I just see Bathurst. And it's just a little feeling of joy. Yeah, I like this place. Not pressure, not expectation, no great words, no sort of flashes of heaven and next thing, and which is what I'm usually trying to pray into. I just get this little sense of joy. And it took me all that trip just to find a little bit of joy, to sit like Mary, just driving my car, not to be occupied, distracted by so many things, but just to, oh, it's just me and Jesus. That's it. Just in my car, alone, no music, no praying, just me and Jesus, just thinking about him. It changes everything. I get home, I'm hopefully a nicer person. Just enjoy the evening. And something shifts right there. And I just wonder about you. We're going to grab some musos on stage without making too much of a shift, but come and play something with me. I just think we are the most distracted generation ever. We have so many opportunities for distraction. Maybe you're like me in the car. You've got things lined up, queued up to listen to talk to. You know, there's no downtime. Maybe you're like me with your phone. You know, you just, there's, I don't know, I've got 3 email addresses. I've got all kinds of WhatsApp messengers, iMessage, Slack, Elvando. Like, it all feeds in. And I can just get lost just like that if I'm not disciplined about it. Within seconds, I can just check my work email. Oh, no, I haven't done it. So suddenly, I'm distracted. I'm back into a place where I just shouldn't be. I need to carve out a time to check work email. Not just while I'm waiting for something. You know that default? I got a minute just while I'm waiting for the toast to pop up. Oh, no. And then you've gone. Day's gone. Toast has popped up, but you're elsewhere. There's so many places for distraction. It's not just our devices, it's everything around us distracts. I don't think we have a problem with doing. I see lots of doing in this Luke 10. I think we're good at doing. But I think we're really bad at setting as a culture. But wouldn't it be incredible if we sat at the feet of Jesus and from that space started to do? How different would it be? We wouldn't be living with pressure or expectation. We wouldn't be living with performance anxiety. We wouldn't be living with unreasonable expectations. I've got to do this in the next 10 years. No, no, just one day at a time. We wouldn't be living with the pressure on ourselves, that relentless, am I okay? Am I doing enough? Have I achieved enough? Jesus takes all that away. Have I done what I need? Just be a son or a daughter of the King right now. This could change your world. It's changed mine. And let me share a really easy thing. It's just stop. Stop. Tell yourself to stop. Stop your heart. That's what I want. Stop filling your heart with other things that compete for Jesus. Stop filling yourself with things that is not Him. Stop your soul. Who am I in God? No, you are a son or daughter of the King. Stop filling your soul with different identities and things that are less than God. Stop deriving meaning from a lesser worldview. Stop your strength. What can you do? You can do lots of things, but not everything is necessary. Stop thinking that everything depends on you, Martha. Stop thinking that you are the responsible one. You're not. Jesus is. Stop with your mind. Stop filling your mind with things that you can never achieve or do. David writes, he says, the nearness of God is my good. The nearness of God is my good, Psalm 73:28. My good comes from being near to Him. And if you, like me, find yourself a natural doer and an unnatural sitter, I want to help you this morning. There's simply four things, really quickly. It's called repentance. You can apply this little frame to anything that you find yourself in that you think, this isn't good. This is not how God designed me. Repentance is, you know, it's one of those religious words that we use. But it's really quite simple. Here it is. Number one, acknowledge. Own up. Confess. Own up. Acknowledge. Yep, that's me. That's me. Acknowledge you've been crowding God out by your doing. Yep. Say sorry. This is part of repentance. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've just tried to do so much and not sat at your feet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've thought that it all depends on me and not you. I'm sorry that I've taken on so much. Just, you don't need to spend hours or years in deep contemplation. just keep going. And then commit to change. But unless you got the last bit, it'll probably fall over. Is ask for His help. Don't employ your natural strength into this. It'll end in tears. Ask for His help. And then just try. You're not going to be successful every time. It's the world we live in. But each little attempt, you go, no, I'm going to shut that out. I'm just going to sit right now at the feet of Jesus. Acknowledge you've been crowding God out. Say sorry. Commit to change. Ask for help. It's the journey of repentance. It's real important. And you can do that with anything that you find yourself in that doesn't please God. So let's pray that together. Just close your eyes with me. I'm not going to ask for hands up or anything. Just you're safe just to talk to you and God. Right? But if that's you, just in your heart, just follow me along with this. Let me help you reset things. Jesus, I'm sorry that I've crowded you out. sorry that I've been a Martha in the kitchen and tried to do everything on my own, but I haven't just sat and listened to your word. I'm sorry that I've neglected you, time in your presence setting. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to change, Jesus. I'd like to shift some things in my world that's going to make a difference. I'd like to find space to sit with you. I'd like to build it into the rhythm of my week and my day and my month and my year. I'd like to find space. I'm going to put it into my diary. I'm going to commit to minutes or hours or even a day, just you and me, Lord, just to hang out, just to sit, just to get a download of where you've come from, what heaven is like, just to hear your thoughts about the world, about me. And Jesus, would you help me? Would you help me when I get so distracted and so busy? Would you help me just to say, Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things. Would you bring those words to mind and just help me to sit like my sister? Lord Jesus, thank you that you always, always forgive, you always enable, you always equip. So Lord, with each person here who needs this, I'm praying your strength, your Holy Spirit enabling right now. Because I see a church that's filled with people who love Jesus and who act out of that, who serve because he's done something in our hearts, who serve and do because there's a great revelation of love and peace, and the fruit, the overflow is just because it's what's inside. Not because of something I'm trying to manufacture or prove, but it's real fruit and it's real joy. And it's real life that flows out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless each person as we strive to sit. And you know, if you're here this morning and you're not on the journey with Jesus yet, I'd love to catch up, help you with one of our team and just get you connected with the Bible. And I tell you, walking with Jesus will fill your soul. It'll change you on the inside out, which is what we need the most. Come and chat with one of the team after. I'll hand back to Rosemary.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.